Birshus, the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Chasher Rabbanim who are sitting here at the dais, we'd like to welcome everyone and thank everyone for coming, taking time from your busy Sunday mornings to come and attend this breakfast. The turnout this morning certainly is a demonstration of the community's chashivus for supporting Torah education, as well as an expression of Kavod HaTorah. As well as an expression of Kavod HaTorah for the Rabbanim who are here this morning. We're honored this morning to have several very esteemed speakers. The Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetsky Shlita made a special trip to New York this morning just to be here at the breakfast together with us. In addition, we have Rav Pesach Kron, who will address us as our special guest speaker. I would like to acknowledge the presence of the Honorable New York City Councilman Rory Lansman, who has also come here this morning. First, let me provide a very brief overview of the SOS program. What is SOS Queens, and what is the initiative trying to accomplish? Elementary schools are an essential component of every firm community in two ways. They're essential, obviously, for the chinuch needs of the community. The schools perpetuate Torah to the next generation, but also in terms of the community dynamics themselves. The schools, having quality schools and having a selection of quality schools in the community, enhances the community itself in so many ways. Yet when it comes to donations, the local elementary schools are often overlooked. With so many other worthy non-local yeshivas, institutions, and social causes that come knocking at our doors, it's not uncommon to overlook the funding needs of the schools that are here in our own backyards. SOS Queens is trying to raise awareness about this issue. It's aimed at addressing it by putting the elementary schools back on the map when people are making their tzedakah decisions. So the program itself is not directly a fundraiser. In fact, it doesn't actually touch any funds directly itself. It's rather a community-driven initiative to raise the profile of the importance of supporting our local elementary schools. It's predicated on the idea that since schools are such an essential component of our communal infrastructure, there is in fact a responsibility of the community to ensure the financial stability of the local schools. The program aims to do this by enlisting the community to self-prioritize a meaningful portion of their annual tzedakah donations to the local schools. It is worth noting that the program is fully directed by the donors themselves. SOS Queens was designed such that it will not make any decisions as to how funds are allocated, how much funds go where. That's all directed by the donors themselves. We'll speak briefly later about how to get involved in the program, but first I'm honored to call upon Rabbi Welcher, Murda Aster of Congregation Avos Yisrael, whose vision, guidance, and involvement have created the SOS Queens program, to address us this morning.
Good morning, everyone, the Sister Oshiva, the Rabbonim. I want to just take a few moments of your time to share with you what this initiative is based on. And the last Rosh Chodesh Elul, 4.5 years ago, in the life of Rabbi Yosef Zatzal, is those that know of you who know me know that I, Baruch Hashem, was zeicha to a very long association with him, starting in 1986. And the last time we met, it's a story itself, was l'mayda midera chateva, how in fact he was able to arrange this meeting. He was not well, and it's the last time that we met. And the question on the floor was the following that I came to him with, that when we consider the priority that local education has to have, I felt, and that's what I came to ask him, that this does not go in. We have all types of considerations in Huchot Tzedakah, which stock is first, which is second, Eretz Yisrael, Chaylim, Talmud Torah, all types of Cheshbonos. But my assertion was, and that's what I came to ask him, that L'chayra, this does not apply to local Chinuch. The Rambam writes in the second parak of Huchot Talmud Torah that there is an obligation for every city to have primary education. And there are two Lashonos, and the Mefarshei Rambam say they're both true, that in the absence of a cheder is first machrimin oisai. If they don't make a cheder, Besdin puts them in cheirim. And if that doesn't help machrimin oisai, then the shluchei Besdin come and they chase the people out of the town, they don't let them live there. So the halacha of giving to local schools is not a question of tzedakah. It's a question of responsibility that we have by living in a place. And I gave him an example I gave to Rabbi Yoshev. What would happen, for example, if we funded the police department by saying everyone has to give $500 a year to the police department? I'll come along and I'll say, you know, there's a yeshiva in California that I really like, and I want to give my $500 to the yeshiva in California instead of to the police department. You tell me to take a hike. It's an obligation of each citizen that's here. Rabbi Yoshev very strongly concurred, and he added, we discussed education for boys and education for girls. His words and how he expressed it are words that I will never forget. When he talked about girls' education, and the specific question was, there's a yeshiva gedol in Eretz Yisrael that has 300 Talmidim confirmed. I know for a fact, I've been there, it has 300 Talmidim. And I have money either for them or for the local girls' school, which takes precedence. And he said, the local girls' school takes precedence. Meidloch darf man doch euch lernen Torah. Talmud Torah is not only for the males, it's necessary in today's world, as Chinuch HaBonos has developed since the time of the Gerer Rebbe in Warsaw, before the Second World War, is also a necessary step. And that's the basis of the priority. The priority is not because it doesn't go into the realm of tzedakah. It's before tzedakah. It's an obligation that each one of us has to support the local institutions. It was formulated after a great deal of consultation with heads of schools, lay leadership, important askonim among the balabatim, that we formulated the program in the fashion that we did, and we've asked that people give of the first $8,000 a year that they'll give to tzedakah, whatever that amount is, whether it's a small amount, the person has a few hundred dollars, or a person has massive amounts, but at least 50% of the first $8,000 should be dedicated to local meisters. As Mr. Stockman said, SOS does not touch money, we do not make allocations. The schools exist, there are 6 primary schools in this area of Queens serving our community. And that means there are 6 constituencies. Each of us should have the responsibility, the feeling of responsibility. I was educated in a certain school. My child was, my grandchild was. This is the osed of Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yisai. I'm from an American family. My father, Olam HaShalom, was born in this city in 1917, 99 years ago. He was from the Yechidim of his time that managed to stay from his friends. This critical difference between that time and now is the infrastructure of chinuch that we have, that's been built. Chinuch was almost non-existent. My father, Olam HaShalom, made a cheshbon that there were 5 elementary school yeshivas in the entire city of New York when he went to elementary school in the 1920s. That's our pe'er, that's our pride, that's our success. Our community grows because of our investment in chinuch. And that, Rabbi Yisai, that's what Rabbi Yoshua was telling us. I'm very, very touched and inspired, I have to tell you. I spoke with the Rosh Yeshiva of Philadelphia, of Kamenetsky, Shlita, a week ago. And he said that he would come this morning, as he has. He arose 5:30 this morning. He left Philadelphia at 5:30 this morning to be here for Shacharis and Kew Garden Hills, to be able to come to this breakfast. That's the Shivas, the significance that he places upon this. And he doesn't have a day in New York. He came solely for this. He's anxious to turn around and go right back to Philadelphia to say shir today, still in Philadelphia. So this is the sole reason that he came, to express his support and give us his inspiration and his leadership in terms of how significant this is for our community. I'd end only with words of introduction for the Rosh Yeshiva in Parshas Va'era, just after Sheni. There's a parsha which begins, Eila Rosh Vesavoisam, it talks about Bnei Ruvain, it talks about Bnei Shimon, it gets to Levi and it stops, it doesn't go on. So why does this take place? A very strange recounting of Klal Yisrael, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, and then it cuts out. The Sforno tells us that the Torah HaKadosh wished to illuminate for us why the leadership in this generation came solely from the house of Levi. Aaron, Moshe, Amram, Pinchas, all of these from the house of Levi. Why did this take place? And this took place because among the children of Reuven, only the ones enumerated at the very beginning of Shmos were royal to be leaders. Shimon, the same thing. After that, there were no longer people of such stature to lead Klal Yisrael. Levi achieved leadership in Klal Yisrael, and for what reason? The Torah tells us, interestingly, it traces how long Kohos lived, how long Levi lived, and how long Amram lived. And the Svara tells us that's because Levi was so long-lived that he was Mechanech's grandchildren too. They had a different level of chinuch. They had a chinuch from a dur earlier. They had a different, were built, Rabbi Yisrael, upon Mesirah. The Mesirah that began from Avram Avinu, the Mesirah that begins from Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai and extends dur achadur until today. The strength of our commitment to the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, the strength of our insight and understanding, is built on the strength of our Mesirah. And the Sforno tells us, if they merited to learn from one dur earlier, from Levi, this produced the result that the leadership for generations in Klal Yisrael came from the house of Levi. Amram, Moshe, Aaron, Pinchas, because Levi had such a long life. Baruch Hashem was Zoicha today, besides that the Rosh Hashanah came, but the inspiration that we can gain from the, in a person of a different level of Mesirah. Baruch Hashem, we learn Torah, we have Manhigim, we have Rabbonim, but we zoicha to a person of a different level of Mesirah, from a different dirt. And the Svara tells us that can make all the difference in our own connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how far we can grow spiritually when we have that direction from an Odom Godel of a previous dirt. I express the deepest Hakaras HaTov to the Rosh Hashiva for his extreme tirchon coming today. I look forward to personally being inspired by his words. His actions already in coming have inspired me deeply. And I ask the Rosh Hashiva to please address us.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. It's a great pleasure for me to see such an outpouring. People are interested in hoping. Yes. Moses Atero. Moses Atero, as the Rabbi told us, it's a chiv in a community to see that there are Moses Atero. It has to do with the community. It doesn't have to do with the parents. Parents are mechuyev to help whatever they can, that's mechuyev anyway. But the community is mechuyev to support the Moses HaTorah. And I hope it will inflate and it will, other cities will learn from your community to see to do for the Moses HaTorah. I don't know if it's only for girls' school. For boys' schools, the Mirz Hashem will probably benefit from it too. For both. So because we have to see, perhaps boys' schools are perhaps in a better condition because people feel more obligated to help them. But I said over this morning, it said in a school in New York, in Manhattan, was a girls' school. It said outside, it stated as follows. Outside, it's a girls' school, it was, and it says when you educate a boy, you educate a man. When you educate a girl, you educate a home. They felt the school was educating girls. They felt educating girls, it's not the girls itself. It's educating a whole home, because American way of life, we know that most of the chinuch falls on the ladies, the mothers. Fathers work very hard, come home very tired, sometimes upset also, and they really have no time to educate her. A girl came to a shiva and she came and asked, says, maybe you teach me Gemara, because my son comes from the shiva and the father is too busy to learn with him, so she wants to learn Gemara. All right, it's wonderful. So I guta yitzahora, akosha yitzahora. But it fell the education of our children fell on the ladies. That's the metzias. So really, educating a girl is educating a home. That's the metzias. It's really, in some shul, they're not mekabel. Bahab is a Eden, Ba'eden, Bahab. Some people don't know at all about it. And some people don't even make the Mishaberach. Some people are afraid of Mishaberach because if he has the Omein, maybe it's a Kabbalah too fast. So it's not clear. It's so unclear that in Chassidish and Moses, most of them do not say Bahab altogether. But we do say Bahab. Bahab reminds us. What is the reason of Bahab? Different in Yonim. Some say because the seasonal, it's seasonal. Before the winter, before the summer, weather conditions. Today, inclement weather is very, very motzi, and we don't know. You say the change in climatic condition. But that's the Metzias. The Metzias sees, some say because that's the Adonis. The whole Bahab is because of that. But some say Bahab means because after Yontef, sometimes we, it says by the year we brought Kabonis, every day he had parties, a big family, can I know. He had a reasonable family and he made everybody brought Kabonis, can I get the people that were there? Because Yontef, that's the reason of Yontef. However, Tesis says Yontef because you go to hear the drosha. Hear the drosha. Tesis thinks in your Kedushin says, hear the drosha. So men and women come, so that's why in Egypt, it's interesting. You come to for Chizuk, but at the same time, it's all that works, does his job relentlessly. He works very hard. He does. And that's why we made Bahab. But Bahab reminds us that we have to think about surroundings, what we are. And surroundings means that if you raise a door of Neitere, of Neistere, so then it's a different climate. It's a different environment. The whole environment is different. And I think the community here has been blessed with yeshivas of all standards. They have everything here that's in this community. And the community is starting out this, I think it will catch on to other communities. That Yimuchuyev, it's a mitzvah to help at Moisa Atayro. It's a chiver community to support a Mokam Atayro because that's part of a community. That is a community. So it doesn't matter. You can't just throw it on the parents. The parents' obligation. It is, of course, parents have their own obligation. But the community has to see that there are mekaymes atayro where our children could learn. This is something that we have to work on. So actually, to speak about Queens itself, the Baruch Hashem blessed with yeshivas mekaymes atayro, known yeshivas, and it has a gewaldige name. All the Rabbonim have Baruch Hashem, wonderful names here. And it seems that they're working so hard. So I think the community will surely come along. People will help. They hear the cry, and they hear the need to improve our community. That's an improvement of our community. That Moses HaTorah should flourish, should have what they need, should not be a shaila of what they need. So my bracha is that you should continue to help the Moses HaTorah, which is a schus for every person. It's a schus for himself, but it's a schus for the entire community. The entire community feels different that you are. You're doing something for us, doing something for the entire community. And a person as a chelek of our community, in that schus, I'm sure the Rabbeinu Shalom will bench each individual that tries to help the community. As the rabbi mentioned, that's the first choyv is to build up your community. because that's an obligation. A community is supposed to have chadorim, schools for boys and for girls. That this is an obligation that we cannot leave over, we cannot go behind. So my bracha is, community should flourish and grow in aliyah, in ruchnias, in aliyah, in gashmias. They should be able to help the b'chemes ha-teira. And it'll be, I'm sure, it'll catch on, it'll be an enlightenment for all, the entire world, the entire community. Every community is mechuyev. But Queens was zeichet to be the first one to undertake that. So zayim itatzloche, brocha v'atzloche.
Rosh Shiva is leaving now. He's going back to Philadelphia to give shiur. We're very grateful to him for making the trip up to New York this morning, special to address us this morning. I would like to acknowledge the presence of my Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Harris, and Rabbi Grimblatt, Rosh Yeshiva from Chavetz Chaim, as well as the presence of Rabbi Epstein, Rosh Shiva of Shara Torah. We are privileged to have with us this morning Rabbi Pesach Krohn to join us as our special guest speaker. Rabbi Krohn has inspired so many through his lectures and books around the world. I was personally very excited when he graciously accepted our invitation to speak with us this morning. I invite Rabbi Krohn to provide us with some words of inspiration about our holy initiative.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Welcher and to Rabbi Mendel Starkman for having invited me to come to speak to all of you on this very momentous historic occasion. It's a great cover to participate in the same program as Rabbi Shmuel. As Rabbi Heshi told us, the Rosh Yeshiva actually left Philadelphia this morning, 5:30 in the morning, to get here. Just shows how important this project is. What we have come today to do is not only to solidify our schools, but to solidify our neighborhoods. Most of us know that one of the primary reasons that young couples will move to an area and young couples will stay in an area is when they see that chinuch habonim and habonais is the primary concern of the community. And what we are doing this morning is literally a trailblazing event. In Yitzhak Hashem, as the Rosh Yeshiva said, in years to come, many will follow what Rabbi Heshi Welcher and Mendy Starkman started, and that is to make a priority of the local Moistas HaTorah. It is true, it is a great idea and worthy of emulation. Many of us, in the last month, made the Brichas Ilonais. We went to see a tree, and when we saw that there was a bud that was beginning to grow, we made the Bracha. The nusach of the bracha is very interesting. Shalaychisar bo'aylamay davar. The Eibishter makes sure that nothing is missing in his world. Ubora boy briyais toivais. Hashem created many wonderful creatures. Ve'ilonais toivim. And good trees. Lahanais bohem b'nei odam. That will service and give pleasure to mankind. Now you have to wonder about this bracha. When you see this tree that you're making a bracha, it's not an Ilan Toiv yet. It's just a small tree and the bud is just beginning. Why do we make the bracha as if the tree was finished. Ilanei stoivos, ilanei stoivim. And perhaps the answer is because we're making a bracha on the future. When we see these buds grow, we have betochen and we have faith that they will grow to be the ilanei stoivim. And that's exactly what we're doing here today. When we look and we think about our young children, whether it's kindergarten, pre-1A, and all the elementary grades, these are little buds. And we make the bracha, ki adam eitz asada, that just as we make the bracha on the buds that are going to grow to ilanei stoivim, we hope that these children will be the exact same. And how can that happen? Only when you have rebbeim and moros that are extraordinary, and when you have programs that are extraordinary. And I can tell you from personal experience, with the six schools that we have enumerated to begin the program, I know there are many Kirov schools and many high schools that called me and asked, why are we not being included? Whether Rabbi Gottesman, who is sitting here, Rabbi Kishani, and the Chofetz Chaim, and Rabbi Lander's high school, everybody's asking, why only the elementary schools? And it's a good question. And the answer is, you have to start on a small scale. There's nothing wrong with supporting any of the schools, but you have to start on a small scale. And so therefore, we have itemized those schools, Tveres Moshe, Ha'at Torah, Yeshiva Tan of Queens, Beis Yaakov, Benos Malka, and YCQ. Every one of these six, I have had a personal shaychus. In some of the schools, I've spoken to the parents, and in some of the schools, I've spoken to the children. I want to tell you a little bit about some of these schools where I go almost annually. Rabbi Shouter and Rabbi May invite me just about every year to come to the Hanukkah Chagiga in Tveres Moshe. You have to see it to believe it. The Kavod HaTorah, the Derech Eretz, the Midas Toves of the Rebbeim there, the Midas Toves of the kids, the dancing, the singing, the Erlachite of that Mesiba is something that I look forward to every single year. Absolutely incredible. In the Beis Yaakov, Rabbi Newman, now Rabbi Gwertz, and my sister-in-law, Mrs. Bricks, have invited me, without exaggeration, 16 years in a row to come to the day that the children in grade 1 are given out their chumashim. You have to see that program to believe it. Every child walks in with a crown, and we have a whole program that we do with the children. And every year I tell them that now that they are getting their chumashim, this is their Kabbalah HaTorah. We always do it in the time of Sfira, before Shavuos, as we did last week. And I tell them how important learning is. Their learning, the learning of boys, the learning of girls. And I tell them which Rav Chaim Volozhiner said. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, "Va'emes b'li sofek klal, she'im hoya ha'olam kula mikotzei atzeil." Pony chas v'shalom afrega echad mamish me'esek ha'Torah, then the world would be destroyed. Rav Chaim writes, every second you need somebody to learn Torah. And so every year I ask the kids a question. And I tell them, I have friends in Australia. And if I want to make a call to Australia, I have to figure out that now it's tomorrow morning there. I have friends and children in Eretz Yisrael. And if I want to make a call to them, it's 6-7 hours later. I have friends in England. Why didn't Hashem, it would have been so simple that if Hashem would make one time zone all over the whole world? And I say to all these cute little kids, why did Hashem make it so difficult for us when we have to know what time it is in different countries? And this year, a little child, Ahuva Agadi, she answered the question. And of course, I told her I would give her one of my daughter's books. A sweet child answered the question that I was looking. This was the answer that I was looking for. The reason that we have different time zones is so that every second of the day, somebody, someplace, should be able to be learning Torah. If everybody had morning at the same time, and everybody had the evening at the same time, the whole world would be sleeping at night. But when we're learning Torah, this little child said, in Australia, they were just waking up, and therefore they're going to learn Torah while we're sleeping. And I believe that's the right answer. I believe that's why the Eibishter made it. The Eibishter could have done anything. But he did it that way, and I show that to the kids. And the kids are thinking, and the kids are dancing afterwards. It's just the most incredible thing. I don't know if it would happen in Brooklyn, but all the little girls, they dance around. They used to dance around me and Rabbi Newman holding a little Sefer Torah, and now me and Rabbi Gwertz. I'm just telling you, it is just so precious, you can't imagine. But you know what's to me the most precious? I didn't see Rabbi Landsman here this morning. You have to come with me on a Sunday morning to the Avos program, Avos Habanim program on YCQ. I get the chills when I talk about it. It's usually on a football Sunday. I don't know what they're going to do in the afternoon. But all these fathers that are working people, they all come for davening. They all come for breakfast. And they learn with their children. It is absolutely incredible to see how fathers and grandfathers are learning at YCQ. And of course, Aloni is there. Rabbi Perl is there. Rabbi Landsman, of course, is there. And it is just so beautiful. These are the Heilige Kinder that we have. And every year I tell them that when Klal Yisrael first started, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, not only the adults, the only way we're going to go out of Mitzrayim is with our children, and the children I mentioned first. And then I say to all the parents, which I say to all of us here today, when we were growing up, did we have Avos Habanim programs? There was no such thing. How did this happen? This happened because we have Heilige Kinder. We have Heilige children that demanded, in a sense, that the parents should learn with them and the grandparents should learn with them. And that's what I tell them. That at the end of time, it says in Malachi, V'heshiv leib Avos Habanim, Rashi says, Ayadei Banim, because of the children. Because the children will be so erlich. All of us know we're speaking a lot less Lashon Hara than we did when we were kids. Why? Because you're embarrassed in front of your own children. It's an incredible generation. These are our children. And that's why it's so important to support these children, because it all starts with the elementary school children. And I'll tell you an amazing thing. What does it mean to understand the importance of children? To me, it's incredible that when the Eivish just spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke through the Kruvim. The Pasuk tells us, V'naydati l'cha sham, v'dibarti yitcha me'al ha-kapoyres, mi'bein shnei ha-kruvim. We all know the Kruvim were two children. And Rashi tells us exactly how it happened. Moshe Rabbeinu would come to the Olam Oya Moyed, v'sham es ha-kur medaber elov me'al ha-kapoyres. He heard the voice that was coming from on top of the Arn Kodesh, from the Orein, Moshe haya nichnas l'mishkon v'kivon shebo v'soich ha-pesach kol yored min ha-shamayim l'bein ha-kruvim. Why did it come through the Kruvim? What is the symbolism here? I think the symbolism is that the Eibishter is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know how the Messiah is going to continue? Only through the children. No matter what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu for Klal Yisrael, it's through the children. When you get the children and you get them to have that love for Torah and that love for Yiddishkeit and that love for Avos Yisrael, then everything is going to be different. And I'll tell you a great story that Reb Reuven Feinstein told me. Reb Reuven Feinstein told me that many, many years ago, this was in the early 1950s, in Tiferes Yerushalayim, like in many schools where they start Gemara, they used to learn Shnayim Oichsin, Hamafkid, Eilam Metzias. Those were the parochim that they started learning Hascholas Gemara. The Rebbeim in Tiferes Yerushalayim decided, you know what? It's not really Negeya. Shnayim Oichsin, Eilam Metzias. How many times are you going to find something in the street? Why don't we start Masechta Brochas? Learns about Krishma, learns about Tefillah. It's more Negeya for the children. So the Rebbeis got together and they decided that's what we're going to do. But they had to get permission for Rav Moshe. Of course, it was the Rosh Hashiva. So when Rav Moshe heard about it, Rav Reuven told me that he called all the Rebbeim into the office. Rav Reuven told me that was the only time ever, ever, that Rav Moshe called all the Rebbeim into his office for a Rebbe's meeting. Maybe one other time, but he doesn't remember. But definitely, this was one of the only times. And he said to the Olam as follows. He said, I understand what you want to do. And I understand your logic, but we're not going to change. The minig in Klal Yisrael for hundreds of years is that we should start Shnayim Oichsin, Hamafkid, Eilam Metzias. He said, I want to tell you why that's the minig in Klal Yisrael. He said, how many blood do you think those boys in Hascholas Gemara are going to start? How much do you learn? How many blood will they learn? Maybe one, maybe two that whole year. But what are they going to hear? There's a message that resonates on those first blocks in Shnayim Oivzin and El Metzias and Amafkid. Mitornit Nemen Yenems. Mitornit Nemen Yenems. You're not allowed to take somebody else's. Something that doesn't belong to you, you've got to give. You can't use anything else that's not yours. You find something, you got to return it. You find something and it belongs to somebody else, you have the chayv not to keep it for yourself. That message has to resonate, Rav Moshe said, with the youngest of children, because that's what they can remember when they get older. And when they get older, if they go into business or they're dealing with Bein Adam HaVeiroi and there's a monetary question, they can remember that because that becomes part of their DNA. So, you know, you may think that's like a little bit exaggerated, right? Like, yeah, I got to tell to them so young. So I'll tell you a great story about somebody that many of, certainly the Chofetz Chaim people know, Rabbi Yehuda Winder. Rabbi Yehuda Winder, if you remember, he learned in Eretz Yisrael and Chofetz Chaim for many years. And he came and he taught in Tres Moshe. And then he taught in Yeshiva Ketana, Long Island. He told me an amazing story from a first grader. He said he was teaching a first grader, and this kid sitting in front of him in the whole class had a tooth that was very loose. So, and he sees the kid is touching and playing with the tooth. He said, don't touch the tooth. Because if you touch the tooth, it's going to come out and it's going to bleed. And you're going to feel bad. Well, you tell a kid not to touch a tooth. What does he do? He touches the tooth. So, of course, the kid played with the tooth. It came out. My mouth is bleeding. Right? So, they tell him to go outside and to rinse his mouth. And the kid comes back. At lunchtime, Rabbi Winder sees another kid is walking around with this kid's tooth. He says, what are you doing with that little boy's tooth? First grade, listen what the kid said. He said, that kid's father only gives him a quarter for a tooth that falls out. My father gives us a dollar. So the kid already in first grade had a deal going. He's going to tell his father that his tooth fell out. He's going to get a buck and he's going to share it. Now, he didn't think that the father's going to say, open your mouth, let me see where the tooth came from. That he didn't figure out. But Rabush is right. Metonet Nemeyans, right? In the first grade, you got to teach that. And then Rabbi Reuven told me something amazing. He said, I want to tell you what my father did the next morning. The next morning, he called me into the class, into his office privately. This he didn't tell the Rebbeim. He told this to me privately. He said, let me tell you another reason why we could never start with brachas, haschalas gemara. Now, don't forget, this is 1950s. It's not today's times. He said, what do we learn in the beginning of brachas? There's this man krishma. There's this man tefillah. And all these minyanim in 1950, there was no vasikin minyanim. There was no, you know, an early minyan. Everybody davened 9 o'clock. Half the people were over all the zmanim of Shema and tefillah. He said, imagine that. The kids are going to learn a whole week that there's a zman for tefillah, a zman for krishma, and then Shabbos, the fathers, they're all late for zman, krishma, and tefillah. So what are the kids going to learn? They're going to learn the lesson. Gemara is not relevant. You just learn it during the week, but it's not lamaisa. That's the reason why they would never start with brachas, certainly not in the 1950s. I'll tell you another thing. I feel bad that Rosh Shiva left. I want to tell a very interesting story and a little incident with his father, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yom Kamenetsky, his brother, when they started South Shore, so they started with grade one. So Rabbi Yom had a very interesting idea. He said to his father, he wouldn't do it without permission, he wanted to make the mezuzah a little bit lower in the class in grade one so that every child, when they go in, they'll be able to reach it. I mean, that makes sense, right? Every kid is kissing the mezuzah, so make it lower so every kid could get it. Rabbi Yankov said, Chas v'sholem, put a stool, put a chair there, but you got to put the mezuzah at the right place because you can't teach sheka to a child. You must teach MS to these children in the early grades because that's where they get their DNA, what the future is all about. And that's why it's important to start with elementary schools. Because this is the aside of what the child is going to be. How beautiful the Rosh Hashiva said that when you educate a man, a child, a boy, you're educating a man. When you educate a girl, you're educating a home. How beautiful that is. So people may ask, why are we doing this now? Money is really so tight. Well, I'll tell you something amazing. The Gemara says in Gittin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Imroya Adam Shemzonoisav Mutzumtzomim. If a person sees money is tight, Mzonis is tight, Yasa Mehen Stoker, should give Stoker. So what do you mean? If money is tight, you should give Stoker? Just the opposite. If money's tight, you're going to have to curtail your tzedakah. So I once heard a Rav from Deal, New Jersey, was at a Aguda convention. He told the most delightful story. He grew up in Damascus, and he was once in a post office in Damascus, and he sees this farmer bringing in this big package, and he puts it down on the table, and the guy behind the counter says, "You can't mail this, it's too heavy." So the guy says, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" He says, "You got to put on more stamps." He said, "But that's going to make it heavier." And he said, "That's the pshat. That's the pshat of the Gemara. Imroya adam shemuzenaisav mitzumsam. If somebody sees money is tight, give tzedakah. It's like when you put on stamps, that's what's going to carry it. And that's the same thing over here. Of course money is tight. But when you give tzedakah and money is tight, that's what's going to carry it. That's going to make sure that you're going to be able to get the money. That you'll have more money." And the Balei Torah tells us something phenomenal in the Inyan of tzedakah. We all know by the Machzis HaShekel, the Pasuk tells us in Kisisa, V'nosnu ish kofa nafshoi. V'nosnu, and they shall give, and V'nosnu is a palindrome. You can read it frontwards and backwards. Vav nun tof nun vav. And the Balei Torah tells us, Im tikra ena l'mafreya. If you read it backwards, Gam kein v'nosnu. It's also v'nosnu. Lai malach to teach us, Masha odam noisein l'tzdoka yachzerei lov. When you give tzedakah, it's going to come back to you. You're not going to be missing anything. And that's the attitude. Even in difficult times, we should not hesitate giving tzedakah. We should prioritize where it should go. That's the whole purpose of today's meeting. But the idea is, don't ever worry that because you give tzedakah, you're losing something. That's why it's a palindrome. It's going to come back to you. That's what the Balei Torah is teaching us. We know that before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, David had told him, "V'chasafta al ha'avonim," you should write the Torah on stone. And then we know Shnei Luchos Habris, right? Shnei Luchos Havonim, heard it beyond that. We say it every Shabbos morning. Why dafka on stones? And I once heard a fabulous thing. The word Evan stands for Av, Ben, and Nechad, or Avos, Bonim, and Nechadim. Fathers, children, and grandchildren. And that's really the Mesorah of Torah. That's why the Eibishter gave the Luchos on Avonim. That's why at the end he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to write it on stones. Because that's really what it's all about. The Mesorah of Torah. So many of us here, as I see you, have learned in these schools, whether Tveris Moshe or Or Yisrael when it was here. And so many of us have children and grandchildren in all these wonderful schools. And that's why it's our obligation to keep up that incredible Mesorah. Just want to tell you one or two more things and we'll end with a great story. Rav Aaron Cutler asks a very interesting question that we could all say over on Shavuos at our table. Why is there no Zecher for Shavuos that we have to do? By Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we eat matzah, the Torah tells us, matzah and morah, korban Pesach, afikayim, and all these things we do. Sukkahs, we sit in the sukkah, by Shavuos there's nothing. We don't do anything. Some people hang up greens, right, to represent Hasina, but it's not like matzah and morah and sukkah. And Rabban gives a brilliant answer. And he says, because all those other nisim that happened in Pesach and Sukkahs, that's something in the past. Shehem maisim shenasin rak b'shatom. However, the Torah lives today. All the simonim, we don't need them. Why? Because the matan Torah b'sina halaya Torah atzma kayemes v'chol adeyos v'his galus yeshanim b'Torah. The Torah is alive, and the way we make the Torah alive for ourselves and our children and grandchildren is by having tremendous schools that give them an avas haTorah, an avas haKodesh Baruch Hu, avas Hashem. That's the essence of what it's all about. We know, we spoke about the Kruvin. Rabbi Chanan has such a beautiful understanding of this pasuk. V'hoyu akruvin parsei kenafayim l'mayla. The Kruvin, the wings that extended from the faces of the beautiful children, it extended upwards to Shemayim. U'pneyem ishel achiv. But their faces were towards each other. And Rabbi Chanan says, that's what a yid is all about. Parsei kenafayim l'mayla. We have to have our goals towards Ruchnius. We have to have our goals always looking towards Hashem. But Bein Odom L'Mokim is not enough. Ufneim Mishal Ochiv. We have to have that Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. And in all these six schools that we mentioned, and in all the other schools, whether it's the Kiryuv schools or the high schools, all these schools, that's what they personify. The Ben Adam Lamokim and the Ben Adam L'Chaveray. I just want to end with this beautiful story that just shows us what Heilige Kinder are all about. I recently had the schus in another area to be an Ascholas Gemara celebration for one of my grandchildren. And there was a Zayda there, his name was Shmuel Winzelberg, who told an amazing story that happened in Eretz Yisrael. And he quoted it from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. It seems that in one of the early grades of the school, in that particular school in Eretz Yisrael, they were selling raffles. One particular Rebbe was selling raffles, and eventually kids were able to get prizes, whether a bike or whether a sefer. But the grand prize was 100 shkolim. Comes Vehi Ayoim, it comes the time, and then they're going to give out the prizes. They announce a little boy, Yaakov, he's the one who wins the 100 shekel. The Rebbe calls him up and he doesn't move. He says, Yaakov, why are you not coming up here? You won the prize. You won the main prize, 100 shekel. He said, Rebbe, I didn't buy the ticket. He said, what do you mean you didn't buy the ticket? The raffle says your name on it. He says, no, Nussin bought it for me. But I never took the ticket from him. I couldn't afford it. And he thought he was doing me a favor, but I don't want his money and I don't want his ticket. So the Rebbe says, Nussin, it looks like you're the one who wins the prize if you bought the raffle. Nussin says, not me. When I bought the ticket, it was as if I gave up the possession of that money and that ticket. I gave it to him. He didn't accept it, but I left it out of my possession. It's not mine anymore. Yaakov is the one who should keep the money. The Rebbe said, I never saw anything like this. You know, and here's just the opposite. This guy's saying it's Yaakov, this guy's saying it's Nussin. He said, I got to go ask the Manal. The Manal didn't know what to do. They decided to go to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein hears the story. He says, you know, this is so incredible. I got to think about this. Come back tomorrow. The Manal comes back tomorrow, and Rabbi Zilberstein paskins that the boy Nussin, who bought the ticket, it's his, because the other boy never made a kinyan, never wanted to accept it. Fine. The Manal goes back to the Rebbe, and he says to the Rebbe, listen, I want to tell you what the psak is, but I don't want you to tell it to the children yet. I want you to bring him into my office. I want to tell it to them. So the Rebbe announces that this was a great shaila. I'm proud of all of you that you have such midas tovos. The Rebbe, the Manal, wants to see Nussin and Yaakov in the office. And Nussin and Yaakov are sitting in the office. They don't know what's coming. And the Manal says, I want to tell you a famous story. Many of you here will certainly know the story. And he tells them this story, which they heard for the first time, about a fellow who had done something against the king and he was supposed to be hanged. And he said, I have one final request. And he said, what's that? He said, I want to spend 2 days with my family. So the king said, okay, that's fair, but how do I know you're going to come back? If you give me a friend that will stand in instead of you, so fine, then I'll allow you to go visit your family. So he has a dear friend, and the dear friend says, okay, I'll remain in jail until you come back. And the guy goes, and he was supposed to be 12 o'clock back on a Thursday afternoon. He's supposed to be back. And if he's not back, the fellow, the friend, is going to be hung instead. Okay, it comes 12 o'clock, and the fellow hadn't come back. So the king says, okay, we have no choice. We're going to hang this guy. And they start bringing him out to the gallows. And as they're bringing him out to the gallows, this friend, the guy who was really guilty, comes running, says, wait, king. King, I'm the one that should be hung. And the felon says, no, not you. You didn't show up on time. I'm the one that should be hung. He said, what are you, crazy? You didn't do anything wrong. I'm the one. My family held me back. They didn't want me to go, but I ran away because I'm not going to let you get hanged because of me. And the felon says, listen, you got a family. You stay with them. I don't have a family. Let me, I'll be the one that's hung. And the king can't get over this. It's unbelievable. Two guys, each one is saying that they want to be hung. So the king takes both of them. He says, listen, I never saw such friendship like this. I'm going to let both of you free, only on one condition, that you make me a third partner in this great friendship. So the Manal says, I've never had children like this in this school. Such ehrliche, heilige Kinder. You know what? I want to be a friend of all of you, of both of you. And he takes out 100 shkolim, and he gives 100 shkolim to Yaakov, and he gives 100 shkolim to Nussin. And he says to them, that's really what it's all about. We come now a few weeks before Shavuos. That's the Kabbalah of Hachonah for Kabbalah Satayra. Part of the Hachonah of Kabbalah Satayra is Hachzoka Satayra as well. The Eibishter should help that all of us should support these schools and all the other schools, but these schools are right now the primary schools because most of the children of all of us are in these six schools. They all personify the best a person can find Lamaila and Pnei Mishal Ochiv. And that's chus, David should help that we should be able to have Torah Semes and be Makabal Pnei Mashiach. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for listening.
Thank you, great listening.
Thank you so much.
I want to take your picture. I want to say thank you. You're amazing as usual.
Thank
amazing.
You. Okay. Let me get out of your way.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say a few more words about the program and the details of the program, and then we'll end and we'll bench. So, now that we've heard about the significance of the program, we've heard from the Rosh Yeshiva, we've heard from Rabbi Krohn, in what ways can we get involved in SOS Queens? What are the next steps? So there's two ways in which people can get involved in the program. First, they can join the program directly, and second, they can make donations to the schools. To join the program, there are sign-up cards around the room on all the tables. Whereas signing the cards is not a commitment for any specific amount of money, you're committing to the ideal to self-prioritize a portion of your annual tzedakah money to the local elementary schools. It does help us to track the growth of the program to the extent that people are able to sign up for the program. There are boxes in the back where you can drop off the sign-up cards. In addition, you can make donations directly to the schools. There's really two ways of doing this. Either you can do it directly. We do ask that if you do send in checks directly to the schools that you note on the check that it was motivated by the SOS Queens program. There are also boxes in the back for each of the schools. Please do not make out checks to SOS Queens. Also, there's a website where you can go on and seamlessly make donations which go and get processed directly to each of the schools. Finally, it should be noted that any donations made through the website all go 100% to the schools. SOS Queens does not take any fees or commissions whatsoever from them. Finally, I'd like to make a couple of thank yous. This event was the effort of many different people. I'd like to thank my colleagues on the SOS Queens committee. We'd like to thank Rabbi Schoenfeld and the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills for hosting the event. We would like to thank our corporate sponsors, the Queens Jewish Link, who has been very instrumental in getting the message out about the program since our launch about a year ago, as well as Main Street Bagels and Seasons, who have catered and provided the fruit and pastry platters. I'd like to thank Yechiel Zlotnick and the team at Torah Marketing Initiative for the beautiful materials that they've put together, as well as Mrs. Susan Goldstein, Mr. David Schwartz, Chaim Eli Bloomberg, and Shmui Berger. And then, of course, to our special guests, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetsky and Rabbi Krohn, and all the Rabbanim who have come, and all of you who have come this morning. Thank you very much.